going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I would say we're coming to you live from Memphis, Tennessee, but that is not true. I am coming to you live from, I believe, what is known as Fort Morgan, Alabama, down here in the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of America, I should say, as paying our respects to the newly christened Gulf of America. But, of course, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, and we're 680 AM, but as always, if you're away from the radio dial, you can listen right there on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. All you have to do is download the app. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Back in studio is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George Ruggiero, good day, sir.
Hey, Jeffrey. How you doing down there, buddy?
Let's say how we sounding is the primary concern, because this is our first real test. As long as we sound good, we got 5 days of this, buddy.
I've got you loud and clear. As long as you're hearing everything from us, that's all that matters.
So far, so good. We look forward to bringing you the program for the entire week. Joining us from Phoenix, Arizona, maybe the Scottsdale area. I don't really quite know. I know that he is out and about with Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. He's the head coach. He's the program director of Team Thad. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, how you doing?
Man, great day. Great week, Jeffrey and company. Thank you.
The main thing is, can you hear us? Because that's all I care. Like, we're using all sorts of technology that I have no idea how reliable it is. As long as you can hear us, we're good, Coach.
Oh no! I hear you guys. Great. Hope y'all hear us. Great. I think the listeners hear us. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. You down there on the beach? But we gonna make this happen. It's gonna be a good show.
All right. So, what tournament? Because I feel like I can never keep up exactly. I know. I understand. There's different circuits and whatnot. But what event do we have going on right now down in the Phoenix area?
So Phoenix, we had the Nike EYDL over the weekend, the session one. You know, so it is a lot of circuits.
Is all your teams or just like your 17s?
Just the 17s, because the way Nike did it, only this half of the country did the 15 and 16s, and then the other half of the country, 15 and 16s, going to Kansas City. But it was the, you know, true Nike thing. And like you said, there's a lot of circuits. But I know, Jeffrey, you know basketball. You know the Nike is like the, you know, best of the best, NBA scouts, everything is here right now and everything.
Well, I was going to ask, is the level of scouting still the same? I mean, I can't keep up with the calendar. I know at some tournaments, colleges, coaches couldn't go and whatnot, but are the same amount of people that used to be at these things 4 or 5 years ago, is it the same number of people still?
So it is, Jeffrey, but this is where it has changed. We used to do the college live period, like the session that we had now. This used to be a live event for college coaches. The weekend before this would have been, well, because of the portal, they don't do the live because some coaches was missing it because they used to have visits back before. A couple years ago, people used to still visit the school even though you got money. Now it's just how much money you're getting, right? But so because they had visits and they was missing some of the sessions in April, they have moved the live period back to late May because by then, you know, the coaches will be back, you know, knowing they rostered and got people that missed on them. So this weekend we have the NBA scouts and the college coaches don't come into late May and all of July now. Not April anymore because of the portal set up.
So what would a weekend, a good weekend for Team Thad look like, or a good tournament for Team Thad look like?
You mean in like production wise?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, obviously we go to every tournament. We play to win the game. Obviously we know that, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if you're loading up at the end of the, at the end of the event, what would you say? If we do this, you'll be happy with what, anything else better than that?
So I was happy. We only lost one game. We lost about 5 points against Bradley Beal team, which was the defending champs from last year. And we won the rest of our game. So, you know, our thing is leaving every EYDL session with a winning record, sometime 500. That way at the end of the year you'll make Peace Jam, and that's a kind of like making the tournament and have a chance. So from a record-wise, I think we did well. Jeffrey, your daddy, and you would appreciate this, we were up every game double digits in the second half or fourth quarter and only won by single digits and lost one. So we definitely got to clean that up right there as far as, you know, keeping our lead and having high IQ and other things at the end of the game.
No, I mean, we were playing good sound basketball. We were making good basketball plays.
Yeah, for the first three quarters, but it's like We get relaxed when we up W. You know you're still dealing with you, if you think y'all – scratching y'all head about the college kids, Jeffrey. You know, I'm dealing with high school kids. So,
well, I mean,
you know,
I heard it's not just the college kids anymore. I feel like half the problem we were talking about with the Grizzlies is we're scratching our head with the Grizzlies, and they're getting paid.
So imagine what I go through, Jeffrey. I know they 6'7", but they're 16 and 17-year-old kids. So it's always funny, Jeffrey, when people like, you know, we all do this as fans. Why did that kid do that? The coach didn't show him. The coach tell kids what to do at timeout sometimes. They don't necessarily always do it once they get back on the court, though. But people are advising them to do it, and, you know, their focus level sometimes throws them off.
No, and honestly, though, it's actually what makes – there's so many decisions I feel like that people want to blame coaching. And, for instance, using your example – you can draw up a good out-of-bounds play, and if it doesn't get executed, it's your fault. And to where I don't really know, it's like, okay, here's – at the end of the day, coaching is getting the guys to do what you want them to do. Would we agree that that's based beyond
– yes.
We can talk about roster construction, but in terms of being an in-game coach, it's getting them to do what you want them to do. Like, how much fault – how much fault do we really put on a coach? It's like, if we drew up the play, and it's like, that's where I've always struggled. It's like, it's execution versus instruction. And they can be instructed properly, and if they don't execute, it's like, how much is that really the coach's fault? Like, I've always struggled kind of with the balance of what I view as coaching deficiencies versus what I think other people view as coaching deficiencies. So, like, for instance, when I watch a team that I think the way that they go about playing offense and the way that they go about playing defense, I don't think matches up with what they have. That annoys me more as a coach, more so than did they draw up good plays. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Because what you're saying is you got to know your personnel.
100%. Do what if I'm asking them to do things that I know they're physically incapable of doing, I think that is bad coaching.
Yeah, like a bunch of slow people trying to press, right? Like
correct. Like, yeah, or a bunch of slow people, and I'm going to try to run nothing but, like, verticals and then, like, you know, either go routes or, like, running essentially go routes and stopping, throw behind fades. Like, yeah, no, I'm not going to ask those kids to do that.
No, I'm with you, man. And you actually saying some good points today Because now I will say this, me being a natural born leader, now I don't coach NBA players, I coach high school. So even if the kids do stuff wrong, I kind of like, I might get on them behind closed doors, but publicly or to the Nike media, I always take the accountability for all losses. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of come with the job, unfortunately, like being a head coach. Like, you kind of got to, you know, because if you kind of put it on a player, you know, at any level, then, you know, some people say you're throwing your – you know what I mean? So, players do lose games, too.
No, I'm actually glad that you brought that up because I wanted to get your thoughts. As someone that understands NBA players, the NBA game, and also understands the coaching aspect, if you're Zach Kleiman, how strongly are you considering bringing back Tuomas Iasalo, or do you think it's time to like run a legitimate coaching search? Like, how would you go about, if you were advising Zach, how would you go about it?
So I'm gonna be real with you, Jeffrey. Like, I know, like, the University of Memphis, Kansas, Washington, anywhere in the college level, they could. What I'm hearing, they paying these private firms to find coach. They could pay me millions of dollars.
Yes.
I could get there right.
You could run for $800,000. You think you could run the Tiger basketball coaching search if they had one?
Easily, any college in the country, especially Power Four, easily, because I know the guys that been around. I've been a lot of NBA. I think I could. I ain't gonna say I can do it for everybody because, like, honestly, I don't really know much about that coach to say. You get what I'm saying? Like, some coaches, I know a little bit. I know a lot about sports. Or I know a lot about Lou. You know, I don't really know enough about some of these coaches they bringing in from overseas. It might be unfair. You get what I mean? For me to say.
No, because you don't know what, like, you don't know the whole, you know, in terms of college basketball, you would know the coaching pool, the pool of coaches that you can select from. With the NBA, you don't, because, and it's not just like, okay, just go raid the best coach in Europe, because that's not going to always work, but you also don't know, like, who is interested in coming to the U.S. and coaching versus, you know, some of these assistants, I feel like you don't really know whether or not they all want to be head coaches next year. And then I think another weird complication, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I need to know if the San Antonio job is going to be open, because yet again, Popovich had another health scare. If the San Antonio job is open, I mean, right? That's the best. Have we ever seen an NBA job be open that would have that much potential? You know what I mean? Wimby, you've got De'Aaron Fox. I mean, it's even possible that you have an even higher draft pick, but, like, wouldn't you think that would be the most coveted job if everyone knew it was open?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't, you know, guys, how much we love the city and you know how the listeners get sometimes. But I was going to say, to be real, though, if that come open, that probably would be a better, like, most coaches and high-level coaches would probably take that offer before the Grizzly offer. Now, I still, as good as Wimmy is, I think, you know, like a Jason Kidd right now, right? If you put them all on the table, San Antonio, Grizzlies, these are all great, great places. And Nuggets, I think people would still have to sleep on it because I think the Nuggets would be very interested too, because I think Joker would still be one of the best, the top three player for, I think, at least another 5, 6, 7 years, you know what I mean? Even though Wimmy, another 12 years. But I still think Denver have a good roster, a good culture, a good element. You know what I mean? So that's somebody that I would have to sleep on if I had to pick between them and San Antonio.
No, that's a fair point because, like, yes, we know Wimby is potential, but to your point, we already know Jokic. We know Jokic is capable of winning a title, and he's in the prime of his career. I just guess the only thing I could see with Denver that would offer me a little hesitation is, yes, I know I've got Jokic, but what else do I have? Like, Murray has been better, more consistent this year. Porter's still kind of this up and down, and I'm not exactly 100% certain of his contract status, but I could just wonder if you're sitting there going, okay, I want to be at the ground floor. But I think the larger point that I agree with you entirely is we know that those – we know those jobs would be ahead of the Grizzlies. But for me, I guess the real question is, what are you looking for the Grizzlies head job? Like, do you think it's possible they already have it, or do you think that you should at least just completely start over and do a coaching search? If you want to include Tuomas, go ahead and do so, but like, run a legitimate search. How would you do it?
Like I said, I would probably run a legitimate search. What I'm saying is also, I don't know a lot about that coach one, so that might be unfair. I don't know his relationship.
In fairness, I don't think anybody does. I mean, we know he's been highly successful in Europe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody, you know what I mean? Like, I think people can act like they do. I've seen people on YouTube try to claim they can tell you what his offense is, unquestionably, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I just wonder this, like, do you think it's time for kind of a hard ass to come in?
Yeah, I think you do a search, unless, because y'all know life is about relationships, he got some crazy relationship with the GM or owner that, that I don't know about. But I would go, because it's crazy, guys, that we are saying, I love women to death. We know women is next level. Me, honestly, like you said about Joker, although Denver falling, I like Mary, I think you can still get people to come play with Joker, though, in free A. I think it's people that would say, you know, hell yeah, I want to play with the guy. That guy passed the ball. Two things I want to say to that. With them, as good as they are, I also think people should be running, and this is what's scaring me about this conversation, people should be running to play with the want to coach and play with John Morant, too. So this should be, all of them are actually sexy picks, but I think John Morant, like I say, a potential face of the lead, anything he do, go viral with the kid, this and that. But what coaches are available? Because in my head, you got Jason Kidd. I think it might be over with for like a guy like Mike Boop, like even though he had a championship.
I think you're right. I think if you tell me Budenholzer, they kick the tires again somewhere, it's like, okay, maybe. But I would say this. Taylor Jenkins was like his right-hand guy. I just don't see that being a real possibility for the Grizzlies anyway. You know what I mean? The other options I was thinking of, do you know – how much do you know about Sam Cassell? Like, we know Sam Cassell, the player, but, like, I don't know. What about Sam Cassell, the coach?
I love him. I think he deserves a head coaching job. But I just think, like, with these young boys and with Ja, we might need to bring an already experienced head coach, though. Now, you know, I'm not trying to take away from somebody's opportunity, but I like, even though he's not available – like, the guy that I think good with young guys or building stuff is, like, Houston coach. Like, I know he's not available.
If you can find an Ime Udoka clone, that's who I would want.
But Celtics got the clone, so it's like he's not available. You know what I mean? So, like, man, I know.
Well, I mean, like, that's the question. So, Sam is now there in Boston. Like, I do. The other one, like, this is the other problem that we have. Like, I don't know what the Grizzlies are willing to pay. Like, you know, do you how motivated do you think Mike Brown would be to take the job?
Ooh, you know what? I think any coach would take any NBA job. I'm not gonna lie about that. I think every NBA team going to pay their head coach a certain status. They might not go overboard, but if Mike Brown just sitting at the house, I don't see him turning down. You got a superstar like Ja Morant. You got Jerry. I mean, we do got some appealing things now, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I can see I think Mike Brown would actually be a good one. I don't know why I'm going brain freeze, because how many coaches are available out there that's good right now?
I do think it's interesting. George, have I missed any news? Jason Kidd is still technically employed by the Mavericks, right?
Yes, correct. Other ones
okay,
that I
but
can...
I'm with Hurd.
I don't know how long that's lasting.
If you're Jason Kidd, how long you signed up for that? But like, what I would like to know, I'd like to ask Jason, like, what roster would you rather have? The Mavericks that you currently have, and assuming Kyrie gets back healthy, or would you rather have the Grizzlies? Like, that to me is an interesting question for exactly, Coach, what you're pointing out, which is guys that do or don't want to go play with Ja, you would think that they would be flocking there, but they're not. Like, that's kind of getting to, like, the overall question that I have is, like, what do you think the rest of the league, honestly and objectively, thinks about these three guys in particular, because I think that's the most important question moving forward with the Grizzlies, is how good are they?
Jeffrey, I think I might have got God again, and I should have hit you up. Because a few weeks ago, maybe I got caught up with that.
Oh, I think Kid wants out. Let me be very clear. When you watch every video, like, that looks like a man that's like, if I can leave, I am leaving. Like, this, I didn't sign up for this. Like, he looks exactly like that. I totally agree with you.
No, I got caught up in some of the fake news you be warning me about. No, it was a post that was like, Kid and the Mavericks mutually separate. So
the old fake Instagram post.
Yes, I didn't got caught. I got
The old Ballsack Sports. Yeah, you got to watch out for Ballsack. They'll get you.
Yeah. Also, he's not even available. That's
well,
on me. Yeah, that's why you keep
I don't know. That might
saying.
Be a matter of time. I mean, although I do think probably – I think the Mavericks – like, I'm with you. I think Jason Kidd's a good coach. I think the Mavericks are probably having to convince him to stay more than he's having to convince them to keep me employed. You know what I mean?
I like they roster with Kyrie, though. And you know what I mean? Like, maybe – you know, Spurs would be a more long-term thing. But I don't know if I just jump to the Grizzlies or the Nuggets automatically with a healthy Kyrie. I think they got some
I guess the question
there.
Is how much are you banking on Kyrie's health moving forward and then Davis, the odds of you getting a healthy Anthony Davis for that long? Like, that's kind of what you're weighing. But at the same time, how is that any different than going – well, if I'm going to Memphis, like, I don't know what
I'm
getting out of Like, I mean, who plays more games, Ja or Anthony Davis? I mean, it feels like it's a toss-up.
Yeah, I feel like the Grizzlies be having injuries, too. I was just going to say
100%.
That. 100%. If you want to play it safe, you go Denver. But Denver have a little injuries, but their main guy is always Denver. You were saying how much for people not to flock to this. About them three. Man, you know what, man? I think those three guys are phenomenal. And this not like a college coach or NBA coach that we're saying they're on a hot seat. But I think when you talk to most people who know sports, they're pretty much saying, like, next year got to be a year to do something crazy or it got to be some big event. Some people want to evaluate now. But it's like everybody know how special Ja Morant is and how special JJ can be and how good, you know, Baines can be. So people don't want to dismiss it, but I think it's getting to the point now because I think, what, next year we like year seven or something. Now, Grizzlies are a lot like the Toronto Raptors, Kings, or certain people. It's like you really can't sign big free agents unless you overpay and they want to come there. So you have to be careful with that too. But, you know, from a trade standpoint, you got some good pieces. I don't know, Coach, because it's a thing, Jeffrey, and you tell me where I'm wrong. They are really good, talented guys, and they be going in the right direction most of the time. And maybe we can blame it on Ja Heff, but for whatever reason, it feels like it's not going the way it was going that we all expected, like a year or two or three from now when people were saying they had a chance to be champions and all that.
Yeah, maybe this is a victim of seeing how the season ends or seeing how the season ended. I think the question that I've wrestled with this last two or three months is everybody miscast by one role? So, for instance, Ja, who they're trying to make and ask to be an elite number one, what if he's an elite number two? And what if Jaren, who they're asking to be their elite number two, their defensive prowess, their all-time stopper, what if really he's like an elite number three? And then Dez, who they're asking to be their third guy, like, what if he's elite number four? And so therefore, like, does that make sense to you? Like, asking everybody to be kind of like one role higher than maybe the elite of the elite teams. But I think that's kind of also the other question that I have, because one of my overreactions from the weekend was, and this has been something that's been annoying me for a while, this idea in the NBA, it's like, as soon as someone decides based on 1 year, you're not good enough to win a championship, it's like, blow it up, blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. And it's like, I don't know, man, I think there's some value in being good, and who knows how the chips fall. Like, to your point about Toronto that year, like, did they get some injury health luck? Like, yeah, they make the trade for Kawhi, but, like, you know, Golden State goes through injuries. their path through the East was a lot easier because of injuries. Like, you never know, but this idea that as soon as you just decide, well, we're not good enough to win a championship in this particular year, you blow it up. Like, that's kind of insane to me. But I do think, like, the one question that I have with them is everybody, like, one role higher than probably they should be? Does that make sense at all?
That makes a lot of sense. I think it makes, to me, more sense with Jaren and Baines. I think we might need elite number two. The reason I say that is because, okay, if it's 30, what is it, 30 or 32 teams in the NBA?
30 in the NBA.
Only half of them, or maybe even one third of them, will have more elite players than a Josh. So I can't. It ain't too many people you could bring in.
No, I guess the only reason why I say is Josh miscast is it's not from ability, because I did actually take some pride in, I don't know if pride's the right word. I felt good about the Grizzlies because when you got into the playoffs and you saw Ja, when you realize how hard it is to score in the playoffs, like, SGA is not exactly like having a field day scoring in the playoffs, and that guy's going to win MVP. The fact that Ja didn't have a lot of help around him, and I still felt like he was pretty capable of scoring, like, that did make me feel good. The only reason why I say miscast is, I mean, that's kind of the difference to me between, like, the elites of the elites. Like, you got to have them there every night. I mean, maybe we could put Kawhi in this different category, but I think it remains to be seen. Like, if Kawhi is going to be this ultimate part-time player, I mean, don't you think for him to be – to justify what they're paying him, right, they have to either win the West or get damn close, right?
No, that's for sure. So when you look at it like that, no, I totally get it. You know, I was like, sure, unless you send him to, which he had never played for, like, the Thunder or the Lakers, yeah, or Timberwolves, it ain't nobody that could be. I think if we get a Cole, like, number two, and I'm going to be real, too, if it ain't Joker or Anthony Davis or Embiid, your second-best player don't really need to be no big. Guards are going to control the game. Your second-best player need to be, like, another – You know, Knicks doing it pretty good, but they still got a lot of shooters. But for most teams, because as good as JJ is, he's not a Greek freak or nothing, right? So it's like,
I'm with you.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
I think there's a clear difference between Jaren Jackson Jr. and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I totally agree with what you're saying. Jaren's a very good player. Like, Jaren might be one of the 25 best players alive, but there's still a difference between that guy and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, cool. And that's unfair to him for me to make that example. I was pretty much saying, because I know he's a first off on his team, who is a really good wing. I feel like the Grizzlies been needing a wing forever. Back, we even had Mike Conley in the two bigs, although we had, you know what I'm saying, Tony was more defense, Rudy Gay had his. So I feel like we never had a, like, superstar wing. Am I missing somebody?
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Dez has been the closest relatively. Like, Mike Miller was an elite shooter, but, like, I don't know. Like, Mike had an unbelievable career. I mean, Mike played 17 years in the league? Like, that's 17 years with a bad back? Like, that's an unbelievable career. But, like, I don't know. Was he ever an elite wing for the Grizzlies? I mean, it does feel like it's the one position that the entire franchise has always been seeking, but I guess to a certain level you can make the case, well, that's because everybody's looking for that. And it's like, as soon as you find one, I think that maybe that's kind of the other lesson. It's like, yeah, everybody's seeking that, but man, if you think like you're just going to trade for one and get it, like, teams have a history of, like, if they actually have that guy, they don't let him go. And I think that's kind of where I struggle with everyone that's upset about the front office, which is, you want them to make move. You want them to make a move. You want them to make a move. You want them to make a move. But it's like, man, most of the time when teams give up on somebody, it's for a reason. Unless you just have a team that decides, like, we're moving on. We're trying to blow this thing up. Like, come give us what you've got. But that's usually not what they're trading. Like, they're usually trading with other teams that are kind of contenders. And so I think that's the real struggle that I have, because it's like everyone thinks, like, go get that guy, go get that guy. But I also understand, like, it's really hard to just snap your fingers and say, yeah, we're getting that guy.
No, that's for sure. I guess what I mean, though, like even in the draft, we used to make a joke about, like, the Grizzlies must go to Popeyes and ask for no wings because they would 100%. Always draft bigs and another point. Now, they did try to get a good wing with what's the kid that didn't work out that's from Stanford that went, like, number 10?
Zaire Williams.
So they tried it with that, but I think it was other years in the draft. I can't remember where it was, like, potential superstar wings, and for whatever reason. And I know they didn't try to get them. I heard they'd have been in talk, like, you know, with Durant and this person. And it's just for some reason, DeMar DeRozan, we just never, like you said, they are hard to come by. But I think a good wing would definitely, like, how y'all think the guy with the lake from the Lakers would have did on this team?
Dorian Finney-Smith. I think if the Grizzlies would have actually gotten Dorian Finney-Smith, I don't think we're having this conversation. I think you and I are talking about who the Grizzlies playing in the second round.
Exactly. And then let's say they didn't even get a veteran. What if even in the draft, what's my really good white shooter from Tennessee to play with the Lakers?
Connect.
Yeah, like how you think he would have dealt with us? Or do y'all not like that?
George, I'm unclear. My biggest problem with the Grizzlies is not necessarily, like,
I mean, they do
guys
need a three-point
shooter.
Kind of
shoot it from the wing. It's that, yet again, like, Dalton Connect's kind of the same thing. Like, he's not going to add anything on defense. And that's kind of what I think was their big problem.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the guys that's actually stuck out to me so far in this postseason that I think actually would have been a decent pickup is Schroeder as well. He's been really, really good with the Pistons.
Yeah. I mean, he's always a pest. I mean, if you want to go down the NBA conspiracy rabbit hole, the Nets insist that they did not, and to a level that seemed to be satisfactory to the Grizzlies, the Nets insisted that they did not leak the Dorian Finney-Smith news, and the Grizzlies, we know, did not leak it because they were trying to get the deal done. How that news gets out and all of a sudden the Lakers are able to make the best offer, that is one that I feel like everyone's too obsessed, I think, with Luka and Nico. I want to go back to the one right before it where how does Luka's best friend from Dallas wind up in L.A. first?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a prequel. I know everyone's really focused on Luka to the Lakers, but I got to tell you, man, there's this awesome prequel that comes right before it where, yeah, maybe it doesn't have the big names and it doesn't have all the action, but it's more intriguing.
Where's
I'm telling
your tinfoil, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Listen, you can all get focused on World War II, but I'm telling you, man, there's this thing called World War I that had a lot to it, too. Like, I know you should check it out. All right, Coach, I'm sorry we didn't get to Shador. We'll have to save your takes for next week, but good luck down in Phoenix, Coach, and bring home some hardware, and let's get qualified for Peach Jam.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my guys.
All right, that is Coach Hurd, of course, of Team Thad. Trust me, we'll get into plenty of Shador. We'll save that for the second hour. But let's talk some Tiger basketball. We'll do that next when we come back. Jason Munn's going to join the program like he does each and every Monday. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yep. That's a fair point. Okay. I kind of like that. Do we have a theme for why we're splitting into fractions?
No. I just made a purchase of one of their albums, and so that's where I'm at.
Vinyl or digital purchase?
It was vinyl. It was like a compilation of some of their most early stuff, and just digging into that with some B-sides and remixes and things like that. And very underappreciated. Got their start in like the late 80s, early 90s. And if you ever turn them on, like if you're, I don't know if you've ever heard Garbage or not you, but
yeah,
anybody, not you, but anybody, they were pre Garbage. And I think Garbage was heavily influenced by Curve. And so good stuff.
Do you prefer listening on vinyl?
I don't know that I would necessarily go so far as to say prefer, but it's like, especially nowadays, like even like digital and whatever else, CD, whatever else, like they've come.
Are we still making CDs? Do we produce them?
They are. And I'm still buying them occasionally, but no, it's like, if it's after say 2010, pretty much anything digital or whatever it sounds really, really good. And they've kind of gotten it down to where it doesn't sound too robotic or, whatever. It's got some depth to it, and the way vinyl does. And so, but if it's like pre 2010, then it's a little bit iffy.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair way to look at it. All right, let's talk about it, because last week, I think honestly, what it felt like it was maybe 30 minutes after we got off the phone with you, maybe an hour, because I think actually it might have just been right when the show, you'd mentioned, watch out for Doug McDaniel, watch out for Doug McDaniel and the Tigers, and lo and behold, he commits. Did you think it would be that soon? Like I know you were very confident in, hey, this is a name that I think is going to be connected to the Tigers, but did you think it would be within basically minutes of us talking?
Yeah. I mean, I was honestly surprised that it hadn't happened before we got on the phone, before we did the interview last week. It had been done for a while, honestly. Same with Aaron Bradshaw. You know, because Aaron had visited the week before, and Doug visited, I think it was that day. I think he was in Memphis on last Monday and Tuesday. And you know, it was all very pretty much wrapped up by the time we did our hit last week. So I was a little bit surprised that it hadn't happened yet. So it did not surprise me when it happened, when it did.
Any reason why you think there was it a crossing of the, you know, crossing the T's, dotting of the I's? Is it just dramatic effect? Is it, you know, was there anything that you took away from the fact that you thought this was done and it took a little bit longer than it actually did?
No, not really. I think, you know, there are a whole wide variety of factors that go into it. And I think sometimes it's even just like, you know, we're dealing with, young schedules. People. Yeah. Like, you know, we're also dealing with young people who they'll get to it when they get to it, or, you know, it could be any number of things. It could be that, you know, they've heard that so-and-so is going to announce on this day and they want to have a day to themselves. So they kind of like
look on the calendar, and if they haven't heard of anybody else committing that day, then maybe they schedule theirs for that day. But yeah, so like there's
like an open calendar like on Google Docs of, all right, here's your day, here's mine.
I know, I do. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I there's something
it certainly
that,
feels like it at times.
I like to envision it that way. Now, I mean, there are exceptions. Like sometimes you'll get, you know, a handful of players announcing their news all kind of in a very short span. But I think there are those who I like to think there are those who kind of keep in mind the fact, like, you know, well, this day seems a little bit quieter than the others. So let's go with that.
All right. Let's talk about what type of player do you think they're getting in Doug McDaniel?
I think what Memphis is getting is a very – so he's got 3 years of power conference experience. He played 2 seasons at Michigan. He played 1 at Kansas State. He's never been to the NCAA tournament. Like, that's kind of the elephant in the room. You gotta acknowledge that, right? Like, you know, not saying that that is something that should always be held against every player who's never made the NCAA tournament, but – It is something to at least note. But
no, I think that's more than fair. Like, you know, like, do I, like, I guess the way I would say it is, like, I think it's fair to say, like, in hindsight, I was always lower on David Jones than everyone else was, because right. I felt like there were many, many examples of him not leading to winning. At least I feel like with those two programs that we've just mentioned, all right, well, Michigan was falling apart, and I don't think it was necessarily just his fault. And then Kansas State last year, it feels like they had just like a dangerous Molotov cocktail and it fell apart. Now, does it seem like he's the primary target? No, but I do think it's, I think as you said, it's fair to note these aren't like, it's like he was on these two teams. Like, you can't ignore it. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Now, at the same time, like, all that's true, but at the same time, he's been very productive. Pretty much from his sophomore season on, he averaged almost 17 points a game as a sophomore at Michigan. That was the same season they played Memphis down in the Bahamas at the Battle for Atlantis. And he averaged, I think, like 11.5 points a game or something like that last season at K-State. You know, so like he didn't shoot the ball very well last year. I think it was like 27%, maybe 25%, something like that from three. The year before that, though, he was really good at Michigan. He shot like 36 or 38% from three. So like the talent is there. The one thing that hasn't really ever, you know, been in the one thing that has been very consistent throughout his entire career has been his assist numbers and his steal numbers. He's very disruptive on defense, and he is a I mean, you know, he's been in college basketball 3 seasons, and he's played, you know, in some super competitive games. He's been in 2 really competitive conferences, and he's averaged right at 5 assists per game for his entire career. You can't, you know, that's pretty good. And he's going, you know, he's moving to the American Conference now. So like one would assume that, you know, that number may be even better. And his scoring numbers might be even better as well. So yeah, I think you kind of, you know what you're getting, but the jury's still out on whether or not he can impact winning. You know, like, can he be the guy? Can he be the guy to put the team on his back and carry him to where they want to go?
In your mind, is that, you think, what they're going to be asking him to do? Is, like, is he filling the role that PJ's leaving?
I don't know. I mean, I think that they're probably going to – I think he's probably going to be – you know, leaned on more to be the Tyrese Hunter type, and not just because they play the same position, but just right. because they're kind of the same type of player. I mean, you know, Tyrese had some inconsistency issues. Like the word that everybody kept using when talking about Tyrese Hunter last offseason was streaky, that he was a very, very streaky player. And yet he comes into Memphis and averages, I mean, he has a first team all conference season. He carried Memphis for stretches of the season. I mean, you know, like,
I mean, in Maui, I think he was their best player.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, starting first and foremost with the Maui Invitational. And, you know, and of course he got hurt, and who knows what would have happened if that had not come to pass. But I look at him more as, you know, because I think they still got some pieces to add. I don't look at Doug the same way I think Memphis viewed PJ Haggerty last season in the same, you know, the same, like, just give him the ball and get out of his way. I don't think that it's that quite that. I think it's a little more apples and oranges there, but at the same time, I do think Memphis is going to, it's going to be his team. I'll just say it, you know, I think unless something drastic changes, I think it will be Doug's team from day one.
So if you had to call it today, you think he'll be the most talented guy on the team next year?
That is a good question, because Sincere Parker, man, like, he's not getting a lot.
I always just wondered with Sincere, though, it's like, how much of last year was talent versus health?
Yeah, well, I mean, last year wasn't even his best year in college. 2 years ago.
What I'm saying is, like, I don't know. I felt like when I watched him this year towards the end of the year, I was like, man, that guy looks like he's had multiple knee problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the same time, though, that might have simply just been, you know, something that you can, you know, like something isolated. I don't know that.
Sure.
I have not heard that. I have not heard anybody expressing any concerns about his physical situation. Everything I've heard has been very, very positive I actually have a story coming out at commercialappeal.com in the morning. I have spent the last couple of weeks going around and talking to various assistant coaches and head coaches from the conferences that these players came from and getting their take and their scouting reports on these different players. And one of the assistants that I talked to from the Southland, you know, just raved about Sincere Parker's athleticism and his ability to be a like elite microwave type scorer. He 2 years ago at St. Louis, he scored 30 plus in three consecutive games. And in two of those games, he scored 30 plus in fewer than 30 minutes. I really think Sincere Parker can be, if everything goes right, I think he can be a go-to type guy. I don't want to say that about Julius Thedford just yet. Like, even though I am very, very high on Julius Thedford, the freshman who played at Western Kentucky last season, who's from Memphis, he is just a freshman and he only played 18 games in at Western Kentucky last year. Now, he played against Michigan, he played against Mississippi State, he played against Kentucky, and he played really well against those teams. Or he put up good numbers against those teams, I should say. I really like Sincere Parker. I like Doug McDaniel. I think the jury's still out on Aaron Bradshaw.
Are all these guys getting here in June? I mean, I know, like, how much, I guess, do we know about when guys will show up? Because that seems to me to be quite the question for everyone, because no one knows exactly where anyone stands on an eligibility clock. Does that even matter? I mean, do we have an idea of when we'll see these guys here in Memphis?
So I wrote about this last week. I talked to Doug after he committed, and he was a really, really good interview. And
that's encouraged for the next like 10 months of your life.
For sure, for sure. I tell you this. So far of the offseason, best interview of the bunch is Duncan Powell, who unfortunately is going to Providence. Unfortunately for me and the rest of us in the media, because he is – I talked to him for 30 minutes before he came on his visit to Memphis. And it was probably one of the best interviews that I've done since I've been at Memphis. And so I was very, very upset not upset. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I was bummed. I was bummed out when he, well, first he committed to Georgetown, then he decommitted, and then he committed to Providence. So, I am envious of Providence Media because of Duncan Powell, but Doug McDaniel was also a really, really good interview. And I asked him when he's planning to be here. And I was like, are you going to be here in June for when summer workouts start? And he goes, actually, me and Zach Davis have been talking about coming sooner. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, we're trying to get things going as soon as possible. And so it sounds like they're going to, you know, do everything they can, at least those two. And he said, we're going to try to get some others, you know, the rest of them to come early. But, if that's the case, then I think that bodes well for Memphis.
All right. Then lastly, was it last Wednesday that Penny talked? My days are running together. He did speak last week, correct?
He did. Last Tuesday, okay. I think.
I know it's been over a week, but did you have any big picture takeaways from what Penny had said?
Not really. I mean, you know, we talked to him a lot about just the state of NIL and the state of the sport right now and how crazy the numbers are getting. And he really did not shy away from that one bit. He was like, they're crazy. They're out of hand. He was like, whatever you want to say, that's what they are. It's, you know, I mean, like he didn't say it, but it is bordering on the ridiculous, these numbers. But I will say the one thing that I wanted to ask him that I actually did get a chance to ask him, because he was talking about, somebody had asked him about PJ Haggerty and if the door was still open, and Penny was like, yeah, we're still talking. We're still in good communication. And he did not shut the door on us. He wants to give the NBA draft waters a go and see how that goes. And then he'll, you know, go from there, depending on what happens. But he, you know, as far as he's told us, he has not shut the door on us. And I wanted to ask Penny, you know, I went into that interview wanting to ask Penny, like, have you shut the door on him though?
Yeah.
You know, I thought was a fair, you know, question. Like if you're Penny Hardaway and, you know, things go a certain direction, do you turn your back on the situation? And he said, no, he said he has not shut the door on PJ Haggerty. And, yeah, I mean, I think depending on how things go the next month or 2 months or however long this lasts, I think that'll be something that we need to remember.
So we still, PJ's still not committed anywhere, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Is this weird yet?
Weird? I mean,
I guess I'd ask it this way. Was I just misguided? Like, I figured it would have been done by now, and it's not. Was that just a mistake on my part, or is that a misunderstanding of what the process for PJ? Like, was I just wrong that how PJ is approaching this, or what, did I just misread it in that thinking, like, okay, well, PJ will just have something done by now?
I think if you misread anything, it was the fact that, you know, a lot of the stuff that was said last week, I believe, is very accurate. The stuff about, you know, PJ and his camp wanting at least $4 million to play wherever they're going to play next season. And not only do they want that much money, they want that much money for playing point guard the majority of the time. That's what's been reported as one of their sort of, you know, demands, for lack of a better term, is they PJ wants to play the majority of his time, and if he plays college basketball next season, he wants to play the majority of his season at point guard. And like, I'm sorry. You know, PJ was a second team All-American this past season, but he was not a consensus second team All-American at point guard. And I just don't know many teams, many programs in late April who have $4 million sitting around to pay somebody to play
for an experiment.
Second team. Yeah, to pay a consensus second-team All-American to play a position that they haven't played at college in college yet. I mean, he did play some point guard, don't get me wrong, but he turned the ball over a lot when he played point guard. And I know he played a lot of point guard at Tulsa 2 years ago, but that didn't exactly go very well either. We shall see. I think that they kind of, PJ and his camp kind of got things a little bit ahead of the cart. But I mean, that's not to say that they're not going to eventually get what they want. They might. It's just going to take a little while longer than I think a lot of people thought.
Just a slower process. All right, Munns, we really appreciate it, my man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, of course, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Go follow him on Twitter, on X, at Munsley. Go check out everything that he's got listed over at the website right now. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. George and I are going to be holding the fort down for you here the next hour. George, I want to discuss with you, I want to get into Zach Kleiman's entire post-game postseason, the exit interview. I want to get into that.
Oh boy.
George and I both love the draft. We've got to get into that. Of course, we're going to discuss our thoughts on the Shador drop and all the conversation around it. But we're going to do all that when we come back during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.